We don't have the printed papers as we do every year, so each introducer of the keynotes will announce which keynote he's going to be speaking about. That's the one we'll be saying, and that's how it'll work. Okay, we're starting now with the first one, Vav. Just some thoughts on the keynotes in general. We say, Elitzion v'Yareha, at the end of the keynotes, we wail, Tzion v'Yareha, Kamo Isha b'Tzireha, V'Chipsula Chagurasak al-Bal Nu'Reha. So there are two situations there described, each a very different kind of pain. Isha b'tzireha, a woman in the throes of labor, is suffering great physical pain. But there's no agmas nefesh involved. Adarabba, she's anticipating something. But she has tremendous physical pain. The Isha chagura sak, chepsula, the psula chagura sak al baal nu'ureha, is not suffering any physical pain, but she has tremendous, tremendous agmas nefesh, tremendous aggravation is too soft a word. And that's what we focus on, as we'll see. Not only do we have the physical suffering, or the material suffering, whether it's the murders, the being chased out of the land, the golos, and then the agnus nefesh, if you want to call it that, of as we'll see, the goyim, the chil Hashem, the chil kavod Yisrael, as the goyim makos, when they say ayei elokeichem, and then the tsar of not having the shechina, that's both kinds of tsar really, because there's a physical loss. It's a different kind of living when you're not with the Shechina. Then there's the Agnus Nefesh, and Hashem is being master upon of me then. In two places, we refer to the Beis HaMikdash as Beis Chayenu. We say, Yerotzom, Mondays, Thursdays, Vachonin is Beis Chayenu. And then we say, but after ki beis chayenu, rechem otzion ki beis chayenu. So it's called beis chayenu. The Beis HaMikdash is funneling life to us. The Medrash says on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, kimigdal David tzavarech, ze beis HaMikdash. Shenimshal tzavar. It's like the neck. Nito hatzavar ein chayim. It's not like the Uma has just the ever existence without the Beis HaMikdash. It's a different kind of life. It's a different mode. Ki beis chayenu. Nito hatzavar ein chayim. Now in the tzavar, there's actually two pipes that are cut during the shechita. We talk about the windpipe, the koneh, and the vesht. So the Beis HaMikdash supplied, we'll call it the ruchni of Klal Yisrael, which would be like the koneh, oxygen, wind, and the veshet, which is the food. The Beis HaMikdash supplied the Gashmi existence of Klal Yisrael. The Shefa came through the Beis HaMikdash. The Ruchni, of course, was Emuna, Yerushimayim, Tefillah, place to daven, Torah, Kimitzion Teitzesora, the Karvanos. And as the Gemara in Sota and in Tzubis tell us, that the veshet, so to speak, the shefa of Parnasa, the shefa of Gashmius, also came through the Beis HaMikdash. It had the Eben Shasiyah, Mimena Hushas HaOlam. Presumably, if it created the world, if that was the foundation stone of the creation of the world, it would sustain the world. And the Gemara in Sot enumerates the losses in Gashmius that happened in the wake of the Churban HaBayis, Nital Tam HaPeros, Lo Yorad Tal LeBracha. So the Tzavor, which was the Beis HaMikdash, is both the Kone and the Veshet. And that's what we say the keynotes for. Some of them will focus on the more physical aspects of the Churban and the Golos, and some on the more Ruchni aspects of the Churban and the Golos. Another point to keep in mind, the Gemara says in Tainus that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi would eat his Suda Masekes on Erev Tisha B'Av, Pas B'melach, Pas Areva, dried bread, the Melach, and he would sit in a very not Mechubad place, he'd bring Tanur the Kirayim. The Doime Kimisha Meso Mutal Fonov. That's what he felt like, where he exhibited the behavior of someone who's meso mutal ufonav right now. The Marsha says, Ratzalomar, that he didn't treat it as an avelus yushana, but as meso mutal ufonav right now. And this is not so simple. The Gemara in Ksuvos tells a story how Yisrael and Levit Kechavim were walking. And the Ovid Kechavim could not keep up with the Jew. So he thought of a trick. He reminded him about how the Beis HaMikdash was Nechrav, and the Jew thought about it, contemplated it, sighed, groaned, but still the guy couldn't keep up with him. So he asked him, Lo Amridu, didn't you yourself say, your sages say, Anocha shoveres chatzi gufo shel adam. Person is depressed, in a bad mood, groans, moans. So that breaks down the guf. How could you still be walking as fast as before? On my way, hani mili milsachadati. Aval ha the shonan ba, but this we're used to already. Unfortunately, we're used to it already. Beis HaMikdash Nechrav is something that's not new to us, and therefore, if I can unveil this Yoshana, and it just doesn't have the same effect. So it's not simple to have that Mishemeso Puto Lefono. Now the Gemara says the marshal, it's in Aramaic, but what the Gemara says is that a woman who's used to burying her children just loses the depth of the emotion when another one dies. That's what the Gemara says. Now, really, when you look at the Gemara, you say, that's not such a good marshal. The Chaira, a marshal would have been a child that died a long time ago. So at first, it's tremendous mourning and anguish and that fish, but then as time goes on, the burden gets lighter and lighter. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara doesn't say a woman whose child died a long time ago gets used to it, but rather it says a woman whose children die, so she doesn't have that depth of emotion when another one dies. Which means, of course, that we have to look at the Beis HaMikdash, as we've been saying, Kol Shalo Nivne Beis HaMikdash B'yomov. This is not the problem. According to the Gemara, the problem is not that it, one event, happened a long time ago, and as the years go on, we lose the depth of emotion. But you see, the Gemara compares it to something that's constantly happening. And still it says, it's not so simple, because even if it's constantly happening, so you get used to that also. And it doesn't demand the same depth of emotion. But you see, it's possible, because that's what the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Miloi did. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Miloi was able to reach that place of Mishamei Somutun Lufanov, which is negating the Gemara's point how it would normally be. Sort of a raya that you can reach that place, not mamash raya, but perhaps a little. So he ate a paschareva b'melach and shoyse kiton shomayim. The doma can be shemeso mutal lefonov. Now it's interesting. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it says when you eat sudam asekes, so there shouldn't be basar and yayin, certainly not. That's meikar hadin. Lo yochal shnei tavshilin. And there's a minik to eat beitzim or adashim. Then the Shulchan Aruch says umisha efsher lo. Which is an echo of if you can. So the Shulchan Aruch passes what you must do. No shnei tachshilin. You're sitting on the floor. You're going through you're following the rules of Suda Matzekes. But if you want to, it's like a little unusual for. And if Misha Efshalo, it's really best to act like a Bidu Rabbi Loi, although that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says, but that is in effect what it's saying. So I think it's saying if you can reach that, really it is Avelus Yoshana. But again, it's not Avelus Yoshana in the sense of something that happened a long time ago. What you see from the Gemara's Marshal is that it's Avelus Yoshana in the sense that we're used to not having a Beis HaMikdash. So even though that's something that happens constantly, we don't have it. Kilo Nechra B'yamav, Kilo Nechra B'yamav, but that's who you get used to. But it's possible to reach the place, so Shulchan Aruch says, if you can try to even lower the degree of what you eat by the Suda Mafsekes and sit in a even more lowly place and try to reach that place where you stir up your emotions. So I'm saying in Kinos too, that's what we should be trying to do, at least with the help of the speakers, try to reach the place where we could maybe lift it out of Avelus Yoshana. Halavai, it should be Avelus Yoshana of what you see for the Gemara's Marshal. But maybe we can even climb out of the Avelus Yoshana and be on the Madrega to some degree, again with the help of the speakers of Rabbi Loi. The first Kina, again, Vav, is from Rabbi Lezer Akalir. The Kinos are really split. You have the Kinos that are about the Churban and the Golos. I think most of them are by Rebbe Lezer HaKalir. Then you have later piyutim that were composed for different tzaras of the Golus. And at the end you have the groupings of Tzion, which really are rather, I wouldn't say optimistic, but they talk about what was. It just talks about Tzion, how beautiful it was, how connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu it was. It talks about just the good that was in Tzion. That's the Tzion. That's at the end. In this, so Rav Lezer Kaler was not so clear who he was, but maybe he was even a Tana, obviously a brilliant Baki in all Chadri Torah, in Agodas and Gemara's poetry. He weaves in phrases. I'm going to just pick out two phrases that say one theme, and it's phrases from Eicha. Schiu ma'os tesimuni be'edrei chavirai, talking about the goyim, the umus olam, and really, and this is a pasuk in Eicha. Schiu ma'os, we're disgusting, we're like filthy, repulsive to the Umas HaOlam. And lately, the last few years, we're able, you know, you think, okay, that was true, it's true throughout the Golos, and it was true in the Holocaust, certainly. Now, people are enlightened, but we're going back to that, and we see this Schiu Ma'os, dirty Jew, to be looked on with contempt. It doesn't matter if it's Eisgehal or not, obviously it's not, but the attitude where the Jewish people are fair game to the Umas HaOlam because we're subhuman is coming back in vogue all over the world. No place is spared. And so we're experiencing that Schiu Ma'os, which is Chil Hashem, certainly, which is somewhat of a something to, you know, as it says in Chumash many times, because Hashem has connected His name to ours, so if we are Schiu Ma'os, then His name is also Nishchalel. And so we have that hope that with our Yeshua will come Yeshua Hashem, and we ask Hashem and we mention it and we realize that it's not just the physical tzaras, it's not just even the agmas nefesh, but it's the treatment to be treated as something, as I say, subhuman, lowly, garbage, filth, refuse. So that's another aspect of it. And but that connects us to the Chilul Hashem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we hope for Yeshua from all the tzaras that are brought about.
Introducing the Zayin Echa Atzta Be'Apecha. The Kina focuses on the destruction through the Romans, the Roman destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And I want to focus on a couple of ketayim in the Kina, and it's based on a shiur that Rav Soloveitchik once gave on this Kina. And this Dvar Torah appears in Harei Kedem by Rav Shurkin. In the first stanza, where the Kina says, so, Rav Soloveitchik explained that Klal Yisrael, in his words, are mevurarim bebirur achar birur. That there's this concept within the stories of Sefer Bereishit that there's a refinement of the line that led ultimately to Klal Yisrael for Yud Bet Shvatim. And each one of the avot was chosen and was clarified from another option. So Avram Avinu was chosen. Hashem said, "Then lech lecha." Yitzchak v'lo Yishmael, because it says, "Ki v'Yitzchak yigrei lecha zera." Yaakov v'lo Esav, because he says, "Ki v'Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak." So what's the birur achar birur? Kadosh Baruch Hu birur et ha'avtacha shel brit ben mitzrayim livchunecha. So livchunecha, the root word of livchunecha is those who experienced a mivchana, a test. L'misha amad b'mivchana nisyonos. Somebody who withstood the test and the challenges. And Esav lo amad b'mivchana nisyon. Shel mechiras ha'bechora. It says v'yivez Esav et ha'bechora. Of course, Ishmael was a terrible influence on Yitzchak. He wasn't ready to be the hemshech of Klal Yisrael. אבל אבות הקדושים עמדו במבחן כל הניסיונות. ולכן הקדוש ברוך הוא בירר להם את ההבטחה של ברית בין המצרים. So the request of the Mekonein here, and the question of the Mekonein in this Kina, is that how, given the fact that the Avos passed all these tests, and the Klal Yisrael was created through a birur achar birur, and passed those nisyonos and passed those tests, how could it be that you forgot the Bris Bein Mitzrayim, which was a response to the success, or an advance response to the success of the Avos in achieving these spiritual heights? The next piece in this piece from Harei Kedem is from the Kina, the part of the Kina says, Eicha zanachta bezamecha lezalzel biyad zarim zvulecha. And right after that, the Kina says, "V'lo zacharta chitun chukei chorev asher chakakta lechamulecha uvechin chivinu." A lot of alliteration there. So you didn't remember the chitun, the marriage, the chukei chorev, the laws, the statutes of Har Chorev on Har Sinai that you instituted lechamulecha to Am Yisrael that you had compassion on uvechin chivinu. So the translation here, one of these modern translations, is "V'lachin higadnu." So Rav Soloveitchik says, "Abirur b'zeh, de'mamad Har Sinai hayat yachitun bein Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'Knesset Yisrael." We have this idea that Mamad Har Sinai was the wedding, was the chasana of Hashem with Am Yisrael. So it says, "Midrash Shir Hashirim, b'yom chatunato zeh Sinai," and the Mishnah at the end of Tainus. And there it's referring to Yom Kippur, Shenitnu bo luchos achronos. But umishum galidei chukei chorev chal chatnut ben Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'Knesset Yisrael. That through the laws instituted at Har Chorev that Am Yisrael was given, Kabbalas HaTorah, there was a halachic, so to speak, marriage between Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So, from Rav Soloveitchik's perspective, this chatnut triggers all the obligations of a marriage. So, in King Klal Yisrael, b'ayin b'ta'ana lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, they have a taina against Hashem, and they say, v'chein chivinu. So, what is this lashon of v'chein chivinu? So, as Rav Soloveitchik says, it's a chavat da'at v'ta'ana b'mishpat lifnei Hashem. It's a halachic opinion and a claim according to Jewish law in front of Hashem. So, mikivin shev matan Torah yachitun bein Hakadosh Baruch Hu kenes Yisrael. Since matan Torah, there was this marriage between Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael, then all of the obligations of the Baal Ishto applied. Simkin yish Hakadosh Baruch Hu kol achovot shel Baal Ishto. That says in the Mishnah in Ksubas, v'chaya bebezonoteha u'vfir kunah. The husband's obligated to sustain the wife, to buy the food, to make sure she's fed, and to redeem her. Should she be taken captive? Da'in shabal chayav liftor ishto. V'im kain, gal kadosh baruch hu mechuyav liftor yisrael mikol tzarotam. Kadosh baruch hu therefore becomes halachically obligated according to his own Torah to redeem the Israel, the Knesset Israel from all of its tzoros. So this is the concept expressed in the Kina, that you didn't remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that there was a wedding, but not that you didn't remember that there was a wedding, that you seem to have forgotten that obligated you, the Chukei Chorev, Asher Chakakta L'Chem Bulecha, that you instituted for those you had compassion on. Well, now we have a Taina. V'chein Chivino, now we have a Chavatat B'Mishpat. You have an obligation to redeem us from our sorrows.
Kina Yur, Eicha Yashva. This Kina addresses the destruction of the Mishmaros. Kina Yur. There were 24 Mishmaros, and each week a Mishmar would work in the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Shlosh Regalim, all the Mishmaros would be on. So each Mishmar basically worked for 2 weeks during the year, plus the Shlosh Regalim. The Kina addresses the loss of each Mishmar, along with the related Averos, that had caused it. One line I found particularly incriminating towards the end. Shamat nishamti b'tzachana. I was muddied by the stench of my sins. As someone who has visited Auschwitz and who heard about the unbearable stench of human flesh, it's quite troubling to think that the stench of our averos had become unbearable. Yet when compared to some of the other kinos, it almost seems like this kina is much less serious and much less significant. Other kinos deal with staggering death tolls, intense suffering, Arugei Malchus, with stories of children eating the bodies of their parents, and that of parents who murdered and cooked their own children, stories of the Crusades, pogroms, and the Holocaust. But interestingly, when Rabbi Ezra Kalir composed this kina, he decided to compose it in the same fashion as Eicha itself. The alphabetic acrostic resembles the first parak of Eicha to such an extent that the first one, two, or sometimes three words of each stanza are the exact same words used in Eicha. So, for example, Eicha starts off Eicha Yashva. This kina is Eicha Yashva. Next stanza, Eicha says Bachol Tivke. This kina Bachol Sivke. Bechule Bechule. Why is a kina primarily addressing the Mishmaros of the Kohanim such a big deal? And the Mishmaros were apparently so important that in the times of the Gemara, even after the Horban, Kohanim kept track of their Mishmar and were not allowed to drink wine during their assigned week, so they could be ready just in case the Mashiach would come. And this practice continued all the way until the time of the Gaonim, where each Shabbos, individual shuls would announce which Mishmar was assigned to the upcoming week, so that the Kohanim could be ready. Unfortunately, it seems that we are so far from looking at the Mashiach as something realistic that this practice seems to have been abandoned. Have we really fallen so far? Reminds me of a story of a Pesach Seder in the New York area in an affluent community. And the family was going through the motions of the Seder, the matzah, the maror, the koreich, and they were dressed in their finest, and the table was set beautifully, and they were doing everything kadasa kadin, the way one would go through a Pesach Seder. And they got up to one of the highlights for many, the singing of Lashana Haba Yerushalayim. Shana Haba Yerushalayim. And they were singing and they were dancing and they were into it. And all of a sudden, the wife of the family broke out into tears. And the children asked their mother, "Mommy, why are you crying?" And she said, "You know, I'm thinking about it, thinking about our lives here, our beautiful home, and our beautiful cars, and our beautiful family, and schools, and community, and I don't really want the Mashiach to come. I mean, I'm happy with the way things are here." And as she's trying to still hold back her tears, her husband reassures her and says, "Don't worry, dear. It's only a song. It's only a song." I want to suggest that the Mishmaros represent much more than the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, and that already is quite a bit. The root of the word Mishmar is Shomer. These Mishmaros represent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watched over us and protected us. And in their absence, we have lost that close divine protection. And not only has this loss of Shemira caused immense Jewish suffering for the past 2,000 years, has affected the rest of the world as well. In the wake of recent tragedies around the world, I conducted a study of mass shootings and natural disasters. The 9 days represent just 2% of the calendar. Yet I found that when looking at the worst mass shootings in U.S. history, 27% took place during the 9 days. That's more than 1 in 4 for the 9 days to represent just 2% of the year. When looking at the worst natural disasters worldwide in the past 100 years, a whopping 33% took place during the 9 days. It's 1 out of 3. And this lack of shmirah has hit us at home with a rise in anti-Semitic attacks, unprecedented levels in the past couple hundred years, well, I should say the past 100 years, with the murder of an Israeli boy in Gush Etzion, and with the drowning tragedy in Virginia just a few weeks ago. And this lack of shmirah has been manifested in the last few days with news reports of several foxes wandering around the Makom HaMikdash. But as Rabbi Kiva pointed out at the end of Makos, the fulfillment of that nevuah can give us renewed confidence in the coming of the future Geula, a time when our Shemira will be fully restored. But the truth is, even though we don't currently have the same level of Shemira, Hashem is still watching us. I spoke with a friend of mine whose son was part of a school group in Virginia, the 5th to 8th graders on a nature hike with two of their rebbeim. He said they were standing on the beach, not even swimming, they were just standing there when the riptide came out of nowhere and pulled one of the boys far into the water. One of the other boys jumped in after him, and then he got stuck, and his brother jumped in, he got stuck. And of course we know about the Rav who tried to save them unsuccessfully. His son was on the trip as well, who saw his father go down and not come up again. But perhaps the part of the story that hasn't been told is that a man came out of nowhere. This was a secluded beach with no one around. Someone shows up, jumps on a board, swims out, puts all three boys on the board, brings them back, and then he disappeared. They couldn't find him. The police couldn't find him. They tried to track him down. No word. My friend told me that everyone was sure this was Eliyahu. Hashem is still watching us. We have to remember that in good times, the Kruvim would face each other. In the bad times, they would look away from each other. But during the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kruvim embraced each other. Hashem is always watching us, and He will always love us. And all that is holding up the Mashiach is for us to show Hashem that we love Him too, and that we really want to come home. Icha Yashra.
Kina Yu. Isu Elkano Vgona Volosa Kino Radomikino Mishmeres Elkano Lodomarom Ayin Sabas Beheser Loheres Kipas Vichisu Kusar Kupas Eras Nefas Moin Sefas Mimarom Mishmiya El Eisi Tamon Vikani Vibura Mishigaon Vokala Layabon Obin Yibon Vodomimon Vodomishas Vodomimon Miskaron Obon Vinehov Ushafti Aluna Mibliyav Vimatimus Asayv Vim Gov Nos Olai Kino Mishpres Yishav Zna Birai Morei Horayav Lone Kali Akedas Moriyav Vero Meirede Meriyo Kutsadar Ram Beriyo Mishpres Padeyo Adabe Poshu Horshim Meri Humanis Miriku Olai Kherev Mechanis Rebesi Tzimos Planis Tzastrofis Yatzai Vonis Kersor Meiyon Choleach Kilo Emino Mashkei Mishaloach Mushpesor Beriyis Mela Min Shemen Mulach Rosh Malchot Zadeku Atlai Kupiyu Boras Mavera Boru Arvaisa Boras Usimur Zizimos Kinin Alel Nekras Pazeres Zizach Zras Korosim Litzur Bukol Oram Ponati Miar Barom Ufobo Ner Bahadu Reik Marom Reik Olorab Mahol Oram Reiki Menus Arti Kamiyab Zaniyab Aniyab Kali Tzatzon Terech Miyab Nama Kaliyab Migdal Miyab Shemuki Nizahati Sakhana Vizrifo Das Marom Shuyab Ushati the Shama Barbuya, may I stare at Hamuya, the Dobes of Yashabubi, Ki, his army, the Sakanong, Sakanani, Tina, Masam Rahamim, Hanina, Miki Askanon, of Kwan, Hano, Tabora, Samuni, Hadamim, Shosus Shorai, Shomim, Meshiva for your men, Ubavom, Sireno, Kinson, Samim.
תבוא תמריח וחושקי תזריח קדש עצמוסנו תפריח וריח ניחוכנו ככתם תריח משולח שולחנך תאריח שולי חמאס אריח
I'm introducing a Kina Yud Aleph, 11th Kina. This is my mother's second Yortzeit, so the Dvar Torah, of course, is in her memory. One of the things that Rav Dolinsky Zatzal used to tell us in our Uvdas, one of the Uvdas we used to do, was at times of pain or difficulty or even simcha, sometimes as we've discussed this as a kehila, we feel far away to be able to tap into the sadness or whatever emotion we're supposed to feel. So he used to tell us, take something that is close to you, something that you can remember, something that you feel, and tap into that emotion, and then use that as a bridge to tap into the emotion that you're trying to feel. Don't feel embarrassed or short-sighted to say, oh, well, I'm thinking about my mother, so I shouldn't think use that emotion to feel about the Beis Hamikdash. Sometimes that could be a tool, a trick for us. And certainly my mother's Yortzeit being celebrated, being remembered on the day of the Tisha B'Av brings me a little more emotion in terms of what we're supposed to try, what we're trying to feel. The 11th Kina is a very important one, according to the Mefarshim, one of the more important ones. Yirmiyahu lamented on Yoshiyahu. Of course, we've over the years, as we've done this kina, we do it most years. This is Yoshiyahu was one of the most famous kings. The kina itself almost reads as a biography of his life, as it were. Of course, we know he was 8 years old when he started ruling. In the 18th year, they found the Sefer Torah that his father and grandfather were such Rishayim that there weren't even Sefer Torah in Klal Yisrael. They were all destroyed and taken away. And when they started rebuilding or doing reconstruction on the Beis HaMikdash in the 18th year, they found a Sefer Torah, of course, the famous. They started reading it. It was one of the in the Tochcha, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to destroy us. And from there, Yoshiyahu created the most massive tshuva movement that Klai Yisrael had seen up to that time. They went and they destroyed Avodah Zarah. He sent his Hamidim and his emissaries to get rid of all the Avodah Zarah in the houses. He killed the priests of Avodah Zarah. He completely tried to restore the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship here. And it culminated, it didn't say when, but in that maybe that year, the year after, a few years after, in the largest Korban Pesach that they had since Shmuel and Navi, talking about almost 500 years, where both all the nation came and celebrated the Korban Pesach. In the next 13 years, he was spent in the continuing the Avodah, removing Avodah Zarah, continuing the Tshuva movement. And then, of course, the famous incident that happened where the Paro Niko came to Yoshiahu and said he wanted to go through Eretz Yisrael to Assyria up north from Egypt, pass through the land, not trying to fight anybody, just wanted to get to his enemy, as it were. And Yoshiahu disagreed, did not let him. He had a pasuk, he said, I have a pasuk in Bechukosai. Of course, the famous framing Bechukosai Telechu, if you do that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do, one of the brachas is V'cherev lo tavor ba'artzachem, then a sword will not go through your land. And he paskened that he had heard there was no Avodah Zarah in the land. Everybody, all the emissaries had destroyed the Avodah Zarah. Of course, what he didn't know is the famous story, and Akin, of course, brings it down, that there were many people still serving Avodah Zarah. How would they do it? They would have the Avodah Zarah on the back of the doors, and when the doors were open, of course, it split the Avodah Zarah, so when the emissaries came in of the king, if they didn't see any Avodah Zarah, then they would close the doors and they would worship. So Yeshayahu did not realize that there were still people worshiping Avodah Zarah. He had understood that everybody was following the word of Hashem. So he then darshan the pasuk, v'cherev lo tavor ba'artzachem, and he said, therefore, the king should not go through. Of course, the famous story that Niko didn't listen to him, and he went through, and Yeshayahu decided to battle against him, assuming, of course, he would win. He had the psak din, and of course, 300 arrows were pierced through him. And Yirmiyahu, as he saw he was dying, rushed to his side. At that point, Yeshayahu said, "Tzadik Hashem, Tzadiku Hashem, ki pihu mishisihu. Hashem is the righteous one. I have disobeyed his word." And that's how he died. The Gemara in Tainus asks the question, why was Yeshayahu punished? He seemingly had psak din. He was the king. He understood that there was no Avodah Zarah. He paskened, and why should he have been punished? So the Gemara famously says, Lo nimlach mi b'Yirmiyahu. He should have asked Yirmiyahu. Lo nimlach, and he didn't. He didn't ask the prophet. Yirmiyahu was the prophet at the time. He should have at least asked him, what should I do? He didn't. And again, because he paskened that pasuk, v'cherev lo tavor ba'artzachem, and for that reason, the Gemara says he was punished. Interestingly, the Medrash and Eicha seems to disagree with the Gemara. Because the Medrash says, there's Yirmiyahu she'amar li Yoshiyahu, says that Yirmiyahu said to Yoshiyahu, "Kach mekablani me'Yeshaya, I have this tradition. I'm going to tell you. I received from Yeshaya, which is his Rebbe, which is Yirmiyahu's Rebbe, the Navi Yeshaya. V'sechsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim is going to be destroyed by fighting their own. It seemed that Niko, when he was going to Assyria, was really Syria seemed to be connected to Mitzrayim somehow. That this was the war that Mitzrayim was going to destroy itself. And Yirmiyahu seemed to tell Yeshiyahu that you shouldn't bother. This is not the right time. Don't stand against Paro. It seems that this is not the right time. I have a nevuah from Yeshaya who says that the Mitzrayim is going to kill each other. This is the time." And the Medrash says, "Velo shamalo." Yeshaya didn't listen to him. Ela amarlo Moshe. Didn't your Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and brings down this pasuk, "V'cherev lo tavor ba'artzachem." I have a pasuk from the Chumash. You're telling me a Navi, I'm bringing the Chumash itself that says the source shouldn't go through. So it seems that they had a discussion, and it seems that Yoshiyahu didn't listen to Yirmiyahu. The Mefarshim bring down a Tosfos, which we could not find last night as we were looking through, but
He brings down a Tosfos who asks a very interesting question. He says, Lama Nenash, why was Yeshayahu punished? Halo Darash Mikra Vahiz Gimalaha. He paskin, he gave a drasha for the pasuk, and he drashed the halacha. He had all right to have the halacha on his side. So he answers that Yirmiyahu, during this time, of course you know, was prophesizing the destruction of Klal Yisrael. And Yirmiyahu was saying all these horrible things were going to happen. And it seems that since he, even though he paskin the halacha, but the Tosfos seems to say, since Yeshayahu didn't pay attention to the prophecies of Yirmiyahu, ke'ilu eno mamin v'dibre navi, it's as if he didn't believe in the navi, and that's the reason he was punished. So this is a machleik. Is exactly what Yeshayahu did. What was the reason that he was punished? I was learning with my son David, and we were thinking through some of these issues. I mean, it's interesting. Here's Yeshayahu, who created the biggest tshuva movement, and he was serving Hashem with all of his might, and yet he sees Yirmiyahu, the Navi, completely disagree with him on the psak. As well as he knows Yirmiyahu has been giving a nevuah for seemingly weeks, months, years about the destruction of Klal Yisrael. I mean, it's almost like a bit of a chutzpah that Yeshayahu could say, well, I'm not going to listen to you. Clearly, it was so clear, it seems, to Yeshayahu that Klal Yisrael really was being mekayem this pasuk, im b'chukotai telechu. That Klal Yisrael really was following Hashem, that there really was no avodah zarah. It was so clear to him. It was like so clear that he disregarded these amazing things that Yirmiyahu was telling him. What's the pshat in that? What is the pshat in that? So we are thinking, perhaps, and again, this is Derech Efsher Mamish. I have no basis for this. This is just an idea. Perhaps Yeshayahu got so caught up in the process that he forgot about the goal. The process being getting rid of Avodah Zarah, bring Klal Yisrael back to mitzvahs. What's the goal? Being Dovek and Hashem. Could be that Yeshayahu was so focused on getting people to do what Hashem said, do the mitzvahs, get rid of Avodah Zarah, do that, that perhaps, again, in a level that obviously is way beyond us, he in a little way forgot what the ultimate goal was. Maybe that's at the end, and maybe that's what, interestingly, the Kina itself, at the very end of the Kina, it compares what happened to Yeshayahu to the wicked Ahav. It says that they both died in a similar way. How could Ahav be compared to Yeshayahu? Ahav was a Rasha, Marusha. Yeshayahu was like a tremendous tzaddik who brought Klal Yisrael in the biggest tshuva movement. Perhaps this is it, that perhaps this idea of Avodah Zarah, that it wasn't Avodah Zarah Chas V'Chalila Yeshayahu did, but just that slight change, maybe the slight unfocused from what the ultimate goal was of being Dovek and Hashem, perhaps he slightly missed the mark and was focused on getting people to do the mitzvahs, and as Reb Alperin, and forgot about the lathe. Perhaps. There's another hint, perhaps, to that in Malachim. This kind of focus is not on Yeshayahu, but on Klal Yisrael. Perhaps this is ultimately the message that we as Klal Yisrael have to have. Because as the Malachim, in Malachim, as they go through the story of Yeshayahu, it culminates by saying, Kamohu lo haya lefanav melech asher shav el Hashem. There was no king that brought people back to Hashem, b'kol levavo, b'kol nafshoi. And then the next pasuk says, Ach lo shav Hashem echaron apo. Even still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not willing to give up his anger. Asher chara apo b'Yehuda, that he was angry at Yehuda, and at that, and ultimately he destroyed the Klal Yisrael. So, almost as if it didn't really matter what Yeshayahu did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so angry. Maybe it's not exactly that. Maybe it's that Klal Yisrael themselves, even though they were so focused on the mitzvahs and getting rid of Avodah Zarah and doing it, and Korban Pesach, perhaps in all of that, that excitement, perhaps they just, they weren't thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as they should have. there's a joke that the man comes home, the Avraham comes home to his wife and says, you know, we heard a very little drasha that from our rav in shul about being davar to Hashem. You should really think about Hashem. My wife says, well, that's very nice. What's the problem? He says, well, I don't understand. I get up early in the morning. I go to shul. I go to morning seder. I prepare for my chabrua that I have every day. I come home. I daven mincha. I come home. I have lunch. I then go back to afternoon seder because I teach in yeshiva. I go through afternoon seder teaching in yeshiva. I come home for dinner. I put the kids to bed. I go back to night seder for my daf yomi. When am I going to have time to think about Hashem? And sometimes in our being good Jews, in our doing what we're supposed to do, in our doing the mitzvahs and fulfilling the mitzvahs of Hashem, we forget about the lev. We forget about being davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, that's what we need to do on Tisha B'Av. We are all good Jews. We all do the mitzvahs. We have to think about how we can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, close to doing what His will is as we try to serve Hashem.
Open Zera Shifor, Kismo, Hato, Mihamo, Shor, Vidalabo, Vishim Yumin, Abor, Bolu Shalaf Yodo, Mehabor, Zaku Amorov, Konom, Dasokim, Vitam Rosso, Borosholo Yokim, Oshak Toro, Kinatsu, Rukokim, Vibetsam Wase, Das Bukim, Tobim Rahim, Nikru, Vishoko, Malah, Mali Bala, Hayom, Missala. Idei amaret tamim b'malah ti'aneish b'vziyas b'nei galah kila hamunai lekasaram narayim l'man lo sabor cherev hoshu b'efrayim u'shema l'chozen lo shuv achorayim k'gzer n'gzera l'sakzei p'nitzroi p'nitzroyim mechatos sisiras p'suzos chazon ansosi hechev ulvazos no anamim l'humol abzos loisei panam sabtu alzos suru eidu adlo shkia v'imanu suur uma iso deshia nekira pikarei volsa lorutia v'yuru hamorim l'melech yoshia udenu otzei minam v'gevya no hatzim Heita chachet, morim lo chatzim, zadu v'samuhu, k'matero lachitim, skubol shosh me'ol sitim, kalim, kitu achara bezon molza piyu, bad mitzui, nefesh masa mefiyu, ruach masa hivtza bepiyu, tadiku anunoi, k'mari sifiyu, sisi no kikinei za'am, v'shalem shonam, Mabon Bitsom, Tam Kesem Hatov, Anzu Pipiposham, Vaikone Rolov, Laifan, Yuzukuham, Tom Bimikrehot, Kos Mikidolishos, Wich Nasashmita, Kigo Akelesos, Tala Besrim Mashtem Mearos, Rosos, Isabuloika Besrim Steinosios.
Osos kinos, buvoto maholi, eski shokhti maholi, samosiki loade yamahili, roshati vnosati vnutash oli. Kina 15, Kina Teslav. 15, Teslav. This Kina begins Echa Ashpaso Pasuach Kekever. It too is one of the Kinos of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. It's a very complex one. one that's hard to follow without a morning cup of coffee. But together we'll go through some of it and try to understand it. This kina, in certain ways, mirrors or models the third parak of Eicha, both in its structure and also in its goal. And so the third parak of Eicha, as I'll explain in a moment, brings the reader and the listener on a journey, on an internal journey, and the goal of this kina is to try to carry us along to do the same. And that journey within Eicha is primarily a transition from describing in objective and detailed but very narrative terms of the Churban and the suffering. The third parak of Eicha begins to make it more personal. Although there's smatterings of this in the first and second parak of Eicha, the third parak of Eicha emphasizes themes of tzidduk hadin, of personal responsibility, not just of the horrors of what occurred, but of framing and reframing them as punishment, acceptance of personal responsibility, and ultimately the returning to the chesed of Hashem. And so, much as the third parak of Eicha is meant as this transition from the historical narrative to the personal, moral, and religious narrative, this kina as well asks us to do the same. Now, the structure of the kina, which is always interesting in Rabbi Elazar Kalir's kinos, but it's not just interesting from a poetic or literary point of view. The structure helps us to understand what he's driving at, what mood he's trying to create, what goals, emotional goals, the kina has, and therefore I want to spend a moment or two looking at the structure together. If you can look inside at the first stanza, it will be hopefully doable. Without that, it's nearly impossible. The kina is comprised of 22 stanzas. It's alphabetized, so each kina is one of the alphabet. Each stanza has, as you can see, has four lines. Three, we'll call them primary lines or main lines, which are alphabetized, and then a fourth line. And within each line, as you can see, there are three phrases within each line. Now, the first word of each line corresponds to the order of the psukim in chapters 1, 2, 4, and 5 within Eicha. Not chapter 3, but 1, 2, 4, and 5. So, for example, if you look at the second stanza, it will be easier to see this. Bacho Tivke is the opening of the second pasuk in the first chapter of Eicha. Bila is the opening word of the second pasuk of the second chapter of Eicha. Bnei is the opening word of the second pasuk of the fourth chapter. And Nachlasenu is the opening word of the second pasuk of the fifth chapter. Okay, this isn't confusing enough. If you look at where's the third parak alluded to? So if you look at the final words of the first, second, and third line of each kina, these go back to the first words in parak Gimel. So for example, in the first stanza, the stanza Echa Ashpaso, the final words are Ani Hagever. Those are the first words of the first pasuk, Ani Hagever Ra'ani. The last words of the second line, Osi Nahag, those are the first words of the second pasuk of the third parak. Osi Nahag Vayola Choshech V'lo Or. The last words of the third line, Eicha Atz, are the words Ach Bi Yashuv Yahvo. Those are the first words of the third word of the third pasuk of the third chapter, Ach Bi Yashuv Yahvoch Yadok Kohayom. And finally, the last point is the last words of the fourth line come from the Tochacha. So if you look at the fourth line of the first stanza, V'hevesi Aleichem Cherev, These are the words from the opening words of the pasuk. The last words of the fourth line of the second stanza, Bishivri lachem matei lechem, is the next pasuk in the Tocha, Bishivri lachem matei lechem, the Apu Esenashim, etc. And so this quite complicated structure of this kina, you see what I mean about the cup of coffee, this structure tried to tie together the entire flow of Eicha, linking together at the beginning of the lines the themes from parts 1, Prakim 1, 2, 4, and 5, and at the end of the line, as we go through the line, as we go through the stanza, leads us to the themes of the third parak of Eicha, as well as to the Tochacha. And of course, the Tochacha is the greatest example of our taking historical events and reframing them in religious terms. We can look at history through the laws of history, the laws of sociology, even the laws of psychology, and that's a valid way of looking at it. It reflects the laws of nature as HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. But as Jews, as the Nesiv points out, as I heard many times from Rav Schechter, our way of looking at history goes below that and always takes us to the moral and religious and ethical plane. And that's really the goal of the third parak of Eicha, and of this stanza as well. In many ways, this evolution of ways of looking at historical events, as well as the personal events in our lives, are mirrored in the different meanings of the word Eicha itself. Eicha, of course, has many, many different meanings. And if we, rather than thinking about them as, you know, four or five or six disparate meanings, like the word key has four different meanings, I would like to suggest that the meanings of the word Eicha, reflect the natural progression of emotional and religious reaction that we have to tzaros that affect us, either nationally or individually. So at the simplest level, the word Eicha means what happened, what? What's going on? And anybody who's been through a personal tragedy or a community or a national tragedy, Chas V'Shalom, knows that at the very beginning, it's oftentimes not even clear what's going on. Like, what's happening here? There's an attack. Is it a serious attack? Are we winning the war? Are we losing the war? What kind of illness is this? Is this a big problem, a little problem? It's very disorienting at the beginning, and the structure of the kina leads us into that emotional disorientation or delirium. We're grabbing a pasuk from here, and a pasuk from there, and a pasuk from somewhere else, and the Chumash, and the Navi, and it's Eicha. What's going on here? The walls of Yerushalayim are broken through, but is this the end? Or are we once again going to make it through? It takes a long time just to even get one's bearings. And the first chapter or two of Eicha are really just grounding ourselves in the fact and the reality of what actually happened. And beyond the facts, another meaning, the next meaning of Eicha is like, oh my goodness, the Eicha, how horrible is this? What are the consequences of this? Look at the suffering and the pain. It's look at Eicha, it is so terrible. It is really what's going on here. And that's true at the individual level, when a person appreciates the full extent of what's actually happening and all the hashlachot and consequences. And it's certainly true at the national level when we have a disaster. The next meaning of the word Eicha could be anger. As Rav Soloveitchik points out, that Tisha B'Av is the only time where we, for a moment, have the right to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Eicha, how could you have done such a thing? How could you have allowed such a thing to happen? How could you have removed the Shemira that we've grown accustomed to? And that's a level of reaction that's contained in the word Eicha, and also in the beginning of the Megillas Eicha. But finally, and this is the meaning of the word Eicha in the sense of the third parak of Eicha, and in the and certainly very much in this kina is the why. Why, for what moral, religious, ethical flaw or flaws or processes could such a thing have happened? I saw right down that it's brought in the Psikta, Ein Eicha El Lashon Tochacha. The word Echa has an implication of Tochacha. And again, we're not only interested in the historical narrative, what happened, and why did it happen in historical military reasons, but why, for what moral reason, how can we learn from the events and take responsibility for this. Let's look together at one or two of the stanzas and try to see how these themes are interwoven. So, the very first stanza, Echa Ashpaso Patuach Kekever. This actually, I think, is a very nice example of the incredible sophistication of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir's writing and how, by looking at the details, you can get a sense of his theme. So, the word Ashpa here means a quiver, like an archer's quiver where he holds his arrows. And here this phrase means Echa Ashpaso Patuach Kekever, his quiver was so dangerous and so deadly, it was like an open grave, like a mass grave. You know, we usually think about an arrow is killing one person at a time. So this suggests the incredible power and destructiveness of the enemy is Patuach Kekever. So who's the he? And it says Ashpaso. His quiver was Patuach Kekever. So who's that referred to? So there's a double entendre here, because this phrase Ashpaso Kekever Patuach is a direct, nearly direct lifting from Yirmiyahu Parake Pasuk Tesavav. But in that context, it's referring to the enemy. It says, Hashem says, the Navi, I will bring a goy me'merachak, a goy who's strong, a goy who you don't know his language, a goy lo tishma ma'yedav, you don't understand what he's talking about. Ashpaso kikever patuach, his quiver will be like an open grave just to kill people. Kulam giborim, they are all warriors. V'yachal ketzircha v'lachmecha, the enemy will eat your harvest and your food, and will take away your children, etc., etc. So in the source of this phrase in Yirmiyahu, it's clearly referring to the enemy, to the Babylonians. Yet in this kina, if you look at the rest of this stanza, the third person, the he, is always referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so by using this kind of double entendre, Yirmiyahu is drawing us from looking at historical events in their historical terms, like the Babylonians did this, and rather we look at it as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is doing this. And in fact, in the third parak of Echa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to dozens and dozens of times, sometimes by name, but more often in the third person singular. I'll just read it in English. He has led me. He has brought me into darkness. He has turned against me. He has turned his hand against me. He has made my flesh waste away. He has broken my bones. It's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the message here is to force us to look at what's occurred in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us a punishment and our taking responsibility for what we've done. So, looking at the same stanza, Echa Ashpaso Patuach Kekever, how was his quiver, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quiver, like a mass grave, like an open grave, Ulerodai Ba'af, and to those who were chasing me furiously, Hosif Ever, Hashem added a limb, which means a wing, like he made them faster than they would otherwise be, Ani HaGever. And again, Ani HaGever being the first words of the first pasuk in the third parak, Ani HaGever Ra Ani B'Shevet Evraso. B'Shevet Evraso means the staff or the weapon of his anger. And so here again, Elazar Kalir is encouraging us to look up the full pasuk to appreciate. So this initial stanza is like a shock, like, how did our enemies become so powerful? No, they didn't become powerful. Hashem, you gave them the weapons. You gave them the arrows, the guns, the airplanes, the wings that brought them to be an unstoppable force, the blitzkriegs, the poison gas. Hashem, you gave them these weapons. It wasn't the Babylonians or the Romans or the Nazis. Hashem, how could you do this? I witnessed it myself. The shame that ever so, it was such a strict punishment. Echa Esa Avon Hag. Echa Esa Avon is in quotation marks. It's Hashem saying, but I couldn't tolerate your sins anymore. It was your sins, Hag, like the word Hagui, like with lahagot, with to say, meaning Hashem has said, I can no longer tolerate the avodos. V'chusam pi mipeleg lahar. Now this is again Am Yisrael speaking. Am Yisrael is the narrator of this kina. Because of Hashem's turning against us, we felt that we could not even speak. V'chusam pi, my pe was chasum, mipelel lahag, from expressing any tefillah, the futility of prayer when it seems like there's no hope. Osi nahag. What is osi nahag? This is the first verse of the pasuk that says, osi nahag vayolech choshech velo or. The greatest darkness is not just the onslaught of the murderous enemy, but is a sense that we can't reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the midst of this tzara. That is the greatest darkness, the greatest blindness. Echa atz zamo l'shpoch. How did he, meaning Hashem, hurry to spew out his anger? Hachil nil'esi v'nam shvoch. Shvoch in quotes. Hachil nil'esi, again, is a lifting a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Hachil nil'esi, Hashem's ability to contain further averos and avodos is overflowed. It can no longer tolerate any further. V'nam shvoch. So Hashem said shvoch, like shvoch habaska, like the punishment should come out. And then again, these final words are the first words of the third pasuk in the third parak. Ach bi yashuv yahafo. And the last words are yato, yato kol hayom. Ach bi yashuv yahafo. In me, Hashem's hand is going back and forth without stopping the whole day to be punishing us. And so, there's a lot to be more to be said about this kiddah over time. I just simply want to say that the emphasis of this kina on personal responsibility and linking the sorrows in Jewish history and in our own personal lives is meant to spur us to do tshuva. And when we say, as has been quoted already before, that in every generation in which the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, we hold a responsibility for its destruction and for its not being rebuilt as well. So when we say in Hilchos Tshuva, in Tshuva, like coming up in the Elul and Yom HaNorayim, that every Tshuva has to have an element of Charata for the past and an element of change, of Kabbalah al Ha'asid, of changing our own ways in a very concrete, practical way. And I think, again, I'm speaking to myself, but to all of us as well, when we think about the avonos that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and we want to find a way of incorporating those lessons in our lives, we have to think very concretely. What can I do in my own personal avodas Hashem, ben adam lamakom, and avodas Hashem, ben adam lachavero, in the walls of my own home, in the walls of my own neighborhood and community, within my shul, and ultimately within our country, to try to rectify some of the wrongs that led to the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. We say that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. So what can we do? In very practical, concrete terms, what can I, David Blas, do in my life to try to reduce Sinas Chinam or eliminate Sinas Chinam and promote Avas Chinam? If we say, as the Rav was speaking about, that Shalom Berchol B'Torah Tefillah, that there wasn't enough awareness and mindfulness of the significance of what we were doing, that we were doing things as road, how can I, David Blass, in my own personal life, try to make my avodas Hashem more meaningful to myself, to my family, and to the people in our circle? And b'zchus, trying to take themes of tshuva out of this kina, and out of Eicha, and out of the entire day, will be zocha to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash in the future.
Kabazel Sipi, Kapanola, Via Kap, the Navy, the Holy Fish, Picture. Shivani, Kiyotzor Achor, Shivani, Mashmake, Shivani, Aboseinu, Kiduchu, Biyad, Lohem, Lablo Achuz, Blo Rachem, Bishibri Lohem, Matek Lechem, Gosog, Yubitzol, Atos, Edi, Upogalus, Bisadi, Godavadi, Godagon, Odir, Shoa, Beishiv, Lomi, Yashua, Gam, Kiyazak, Mashabeha, Gam, Gavar, Alai, Porki, Mlaki, Sosar, Mokaraki, Badadu Acha, Yisurim Gushim, Yachozos, Lusha Bapo, Bukhozos, Marim Bukhozos, Rafei Diz, Tzach Lahavili, Kuz Shisha Kovili, Nuhuri Huli, Durat Duhek, Acha Vosay Lishtarer, Shumini Bukhi Alamer, Rachai Bisorer, Davak Toki, Sadani Bishtom, Lai Lutosh, Maharashto, Durak Kashto, Mimeinu Dolak, Vidamash, Vishatem, Yei Golus Atilchem, Achimkem, Akdimachem, Ayohol Yom Bifilosoi, Butzarev Sheish Kibiosoi, Hebi Kilosoi, Ayohol Lechukulai Vazimi, Hasistami Hitimi, Isisabo, Kolami, Oblim, Hekdesh, Pesach, Vadel Shimurim, Ekilam Bihambon, Roshe Hamurim, Isbiani, Bamurim, Altsavoreno, Isrik, Kiel Shechem, Pidome for Abulosechem, Akatum Samanechem, Etib Kurkozi Park, Rizab, Isaac Missouri, Bibetso, Sots, Grace Behotsot, Nehamos Benazel, Benji Lakishi, Migova, his own Kirkishi, his Nakmishalom, Nashi, Vigam of Abrek, Akmitsvi, Kodi, Alot, Mofi, Mamar Abalitsvi, Mitzrayim, Zilvokush, Sot, Lashi, Shifem, Mishpotokem, Vizibosechem, Mishmarti, Esmosechem, Sokozoski, Ashmir D, Alopot, Mikavod, Ridi, Zaharni, Rudi, Slats will be the Hishia, Visab, Dobro, Himashia, Sopotiskora, Sashia, Supposed to Kenai, Palam, Obi, Kimhe, Parat, Sintv, Zotoshev, LVB, Avasin, Satu, Palu, Liba, Sapa, Rasengu, Kirabo, Rasatis, Rahim, Parbo, Paint, Hoz, Kibebon, Nefetamu, Timur became a Sikyon to Hamadu, Akhad like Yilo, Samdu, Sham, Hoshi, Lukarker, Kabrim, Mari, Poyon, Makasi, Sokrim, Jirlap Kurim, Hosa, Hazan, Magishi, Kirki, Berg, Gadishi, Hakiad Layam Rodashi, Udimakis, Moody, Ergo Peres, Somahos, Pashos, Pots, Pokeres, Ashimosiani, Sores, Tumasa, Tablov, Natoko, Lamasara, Pogokogo, Dovodai, the Kobo, Tabu, Mitterosai, Sardamam, Rubalovir, Eliza, Rakushamam, Tobio Kil, Dumam, Tobib Tapim, the Blue Bossy Pimo, Kalalay, Kola, Bibo, Toba Girish, Yashalom, Nashim, Nabi, Materap, Tikre, No, Spend is over that.
It's the addition of the sign up. It's very hot just on one side. Where's the amount? I just kind of put it downstairs.
Bagoyim Sivot.
Kina, Tes Zion, number 16. My introduction to this kina is based primarily on Rav J.J. Shaffer's message on this kina on a YU.org webcast from a previous year. It's based on Memori Chazal and on Midrashim. The kina starts by saying, Zechor asher asa tzar befinim. Sholach harbo uvo lefnim. This is talking about Titus HaRasha. It's Balakina saying, remember what Titus HaRasha, the tormentor of the Jews, did. He unsheathed his sword uvo lefnai v'lefnim. He came in to the Beis HaMikdash of the Kodesh HaGadol. Nachaloseinu be'eis kitimei lechem haponim. We were terrorized by the fact that lechem haponim was metame and begiter paroches ba'alas shteifonim, and he pierced, he stabbed the paroches, which had ba'alas shteifonim. It's describing that the paroches had an intricate weaving on the inside and on the outside, different designs, and that Titus HaRasha pierced it. We have to remember that where did the Tzarosha, did the Sittus actually not only declared war on the Jews, he declared war on HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. When he pierced the Paroches, it bled. And he became haughty in saying that he killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Besides that, we know the Gemara tells us he took a zona into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, unrolled the Sefer Torah, committed lewd acts again in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This did not happen Rechobos Yerushalayim, it didn't happen in Har HaBayis, it happened in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which adds an extra dimension to this horrific act. And if you skip down two stanzas, to the one that starts with Avoseinu, it reads, Avoseinu Zoro ki hichniso bechurov ochul eish. And that's interpreted in the time of our ancestors, of Avoseinu, fire consumed his young men. It's talking about Nadav ve'Avihu, who came into the Beis HaMikdash and they bought an unauthorized korban.